So the most detailed, the most intimate, documented history about
Edemaker.
The Tongan people and the Tongan culture, and it's basically the Tongan story,
Edemaker.
Is found in the William Mariner story. And the book is called
Edemaker.
Donga Islands. And Donga Islands itself was written by
Edemaker.
John Martin, who is a writer of books of savage nations.
Edemaker.
Savage, basically primitive nations. And so when he
Edemaker.
Heard William Mariner's story, all the stories that he made up or created, he basically said,
Edemaker.
There's no way I could have thought this up on my own. He had to have heard
Edemaker.
William Mariner's experiences, and also those of his friends,
Edemaker.
For him to understand what truly a savage nation would be like,
Edemaker.
If all they had was their own government and their own society of their own, right?
Edemaker.
And so he wrote the book just based on William Mariner's story first.
Edemaker.
And then he finds out that there's a French translation in Paris,
Edemaker.
Of the book. They copied it into French, and then he heard about that. Then he thought he
would
come out with a second edition, which is the edition I have with the witnesses
Edemaker.
That were actually with him. So the first book was of just him. The second one was with him
Edemaker.
And his three friends, all of the same age, 15 years old. So William Mariner,
Edemaker.
A 15-year-old kid, educated in England, and
these
Edemaker. Are all English young men, educated there, and then he went on
Edemaker.
To become an actual mariner, which was basically a sailor.
Edemaker.
And because of his level of education, they put him
Edemaker.
In the clerk's position. He was a clerk on the ship.
Edemaker.
The Port-au-Prince. The Port-au-Prince was a ship that actually belonged to the French
Edemaker.
In the 1700s, and the English took it over sometime around
there. Edemaker.
And then it fell into the hands of basically William Mariner's dad.
Edemaker.
One of William Mariner's friends, because we've got to remember, all these guys were kids, right?
William Edemaker.
Mariner himself was 15. There's guys his age that were getting on
Edemaker.
Ships and picking up occupations on ships, 16, 17,
Edemaker.
18-year-olds. And so William Mariner and three other
Edemaker.
Friends of his age group, jumped on and they became
Edemaker.
Either a hand or, you know, a clerk or, you know, what
Edemaker.
In William Mariner's case, he was a clerk because he was educated. He knew
Edemaker.
How to read, he knew how to write, he knew how to keep record. And that's what his duty was on the ship.
Edemaker.
Jeremiah Higgins, basically a hand on it.
Edemaker.
He himself was 15 years old. So we're talking about kids sailing,
Edemaker.
You know, on the ships, doing, you know, basically being hands. Jeremiah Higgins
Edemaker.
Escaped from Tonga, and we're going to call it escape because when they first got there, they were actually, you know,
Edemaker.
The ship itself. They were all, a lot of them were slaughtered, and the young guys were
Edemaker.
Just distributed into society among different, you know, families and
Edemaker.
Part of that family. But he escaped 13 months prior
Edemaker.
To William Mariner actually leaving. So William Mariner was there for almost 4
Edemaker.
Years, and a year and a half before that, Jeremiah Higgins leaves.
Edemaker.
We get the testimony of Jeremiah Higgins to corroborate
Edemaker.
He was actually there 2 years and 11 months. When William Mariner
Edemaker.
Got back to England, Jeremiah Higgins was out on duty on a ship, and then he comes
Edemaker.
Back. So we're talking about almost 2 years later. They get back together, and the interesting thing that
Edemaker.
He notices is that they started speaking Tongan to each other. So you have people
Edemaker.
Who are going out and sailing and stuff, and it was just a really interesting a note.
Edemaker.
That's what the language they, you know, retreated to was that language.
Edemaker.
And he said that if you were to hear them speaking in the dark, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Edemaker.
They spoke Tongan that well, right? John Martin gets the other
Edemaker.
Three guys, right? It was William Mariner, Jeremiah Higgins, and another two guys together
Edemaker.
To show his friends, basically. So John Martin gets the
Edemaker.
William Mariner's other three friends to come over to tell their story and corroborate
Edemaker.
Just to corroborate William Mariner's story. Mariner himself was
Edemaker.
Adopted into the king's house. He was adopted
Edemaker.
By the king or whoever was considered the king in Ha'apai. And his
Edemaker.
Name was Finaulukalala. And Finaulukalala took Mariner
Edemaker.
In and put him under his youngest wife. Finaulukalala's youngest wife became William Mariner's mom in Ha'apai. That's where they lived.
Edamaker.
That's where he then became from. The other three guys were passed on into
Edamaker.
Three different families, and they had different occupations. But the reason why Mariner had such an intimate detail of the Tonga history,
Edamaker.
The language, the music, the politics, and religion, and everything, is because he
Edamaker.
Was instructed under the house of the king himself. Now, the kings, we consider kings, people who are, ordained and voted for or whatever. But
Edamaker.
In Tonga, kings were only considered that, almost self-proclaimed through military combat. It
Edamaker.
Wasn't... He was just the king of Hapai, Vava'o, and that side of
Edamaker.
Tonga. But inside, once you get inside, it was somebody else. The main thing about this
Edamaker.
Preface of this story is the fact that, because a lot of people ask
Edamaker.
Me, why do you lean so hard on William Mariner's story and the book?
Edamaker.
Because at this point in time, we are listening to people who are telling
Edamaker.
Stories from 200 years ago, and it goes into almost fictitious
Edamaker.
Mythological Polynesian stuff, like the movie Moana, right? Maui and islands
Edamaker.
Being pulled up by hooks and fish, guts and all this stuff, right? Which is mythological
Edamaker.
To me, which is cool. It's a fun story, but they're all bedtime stories to me. I really think
Edamaker.
That it's more beneficial for us to understand what actually happened.
Edamaker.
And this is what actually happened. So all this talk about, and we'll get into the tattooing,
Edamaker.
We'll get into the polygamy, and the plural marriage and families and building
Edamaker.
All that throughout the story. But I lean so
Edamaker.
Hard on William Mariner because this is before reading and writing was even
Edamaker.
Introduced to Tonga. As a matter of fact, there's an anecdote about William Mariner
Edamaker.
And his friends writing stuff to each other on the beach. And
Edamaker.
Then Finaukulala and all the people that were with them were amazed
Edamaker.
Right, with the writing, because they were writing in Tongan, and but
Edamaker.
They, they eventually, everybody was like, they were,
Edamaker.
It blew their mind that somebody can communicate something by writing it down in words.
Edamaker.
Right? That's why I'm so big on the Mariner stories, because
Edamaker.
This is before they could even read or write. So nobody could create a story except through
Edamaker.
Oral history. So they're telling stories and they're passing it down and passing it on.
Edamaker.
And just like, as we all know, the whole, if you look at,
Edamaker.
Those stories where people, you tell
Edamaker.
Somebody a story and then they turn around, the telephone story or whatever that is.
Edamaker.
And then eventually at the very end, the story changes so much to where now we believe
Edamaker.
That the oceans and the islands were pulled up by people and, people
Edamaker.
Come from gods and they fell out of the sky and stuff like that. When really, no, we were all just born.
Edamaker.
Right? If we're going to talk about the actual scientific
Edamaker.
Ways of how people are created and islands are created, we know it came out of the earth,
Edamaker.
Lava, science, biology, and so on and so forth. And so
Edamaker.
Before Tonga could even read or write, nobody was reading or writing. They
Edamaker.
Actually thought it was witchcraft to write and
Edamaker.
Read and write, because there were already missionaries from England in Tonga
Edamaker.
Reading and writing, and they felt like because they were communicating that way and nobody else was
Edamaker.
Understanding, because we're such an oral people, they thought that they
Edamaker.
Were committing acts of witchcraft. So that's another reason why this part of history was so important. So when we
Edamaker.
When people speak of history and speak of the 1800s and the late 1800s after Christianity
Edamaker.
Showed up in the 30s and after everything happened, now the people in Tonga and pretty much Polynesia are relaying stories that they only heard orally.
Edamaker.
Nothing was recorded. And I have yet to find
Edamaker.
Anything that was actually recorded as intimately detailed
Edamaker.
As William Mariner's before anybody could read and write. That's why I lean
Edamaker.
So hard on Mariner's story, because he's talking about our behavior before
Edamaker.
Anybody else could talk about it. He was there. He was adopted to the
Edamaker.
To the leader of that island under the youngest
Edamaker.
Wife. And it'll go into the story where the youngest wife will teach the culture. She'll teach whatever the father's house
Edamaker.
Entails. Each mother of that man,
Edamaker,
or each wife of that man will teach each of their children the principles,
Edamaker,
not only of the culture, but of the house of that man. And because this man was
Edamaker
in politics, and he was the leader, and he was the military guy, Mariner was able
Edamaker
to get into the details of everything, the religion, and on through the culture. Jeremiah Higgins, when he got back to England, he went and started working
Edamaker
for a man named Mr. T. Woodman, who was an intelligent farmer.
Edamaker.
John Martin said that he was very intelligent. He knew what he was talking about, whatever. And Jeremiah Higgins would
Edamaker
tell stories about Tonga to Mr. Woodman. And
Edamaker
when John Martin ran into Mr. Woodman, he asked Mr. Woodman what Jeremiah Higgins told him about Tonga, and gave him the original,
Edamaker,
the first edition copy of the book of William Mariner's experience,
Edamaker,
to Mr. Woodman. Mr. Woodman read it and told him that's exactly how the
Edamaker
story was relayed to him by Jeremiah Higgins himself. Even though Jeremiah Higgins was a quiet
Edamaker
guy and really didn't say much or whatever, he did speak often. And there's a lot of people that
Edamaker
questioned him, because nobody has ran into any experiences like that, even though a lot of
Edamaker
them have sailed. They've been to South America or the West Indies or wherever. None of them have actually
Edamaker
come across, you know, a story like this. So they'd always question, and some would
Edamaker
mock, and some would, you know, not believe. But when the book came out and people started
Edamaker
reading it, anybody who told the story, Mariner, Jeremiah
Edamaker
Higgins and his companions, the more people that told those stories, this
Edamaker
book basically came out and corroborated all those stories, because they know some of them weren't
Edamaker
even believable, especially the stuff for the wars. And but he does mention
Edamaker
that they were tattooed like the Tongans were, and that tattoo ran from the belly button
Edamaker
basically the belly button to the knee. Nowadays we know this and recognize
Edamaker
that tattoo is on, you know, Samoan people, the Samoan chiefs,
Edamaker,
or the Samoan high chiefs, or the Samoan speaking chiefs, and that's what they use it for.
Edamaker,
as far as where it's at now, ever since Christianity showed
Edamaker
up to Tonga, and Tonga eliminated the tattoo thing because Christianity
Edamaker
taught that the body was a temple, Tongans stopped tattooing. Even though
Edamaker
at that time 14, 15, 16 year old Mariner said they were all getting tattooed,
Edamaker,
just so that they could mark them as whatever tribe that they're from.
Edamaker.
They were marking the warriors accordingly. The word tatau itself means
Edamaker
similar or looks alike or whatever. That's basically what tatau comes from. And so as the earliest
Edamaker
spelling of the word, as far as modern history,
Edamaker
tattoo, comes from this, his dictionary. He made a dictionary that comes
Edamaker
from that dictionary. Because he spelled it T-A-T-T-O-W, tatau,
Edamaker,
as best he can pronunciate or enunciate the word tattoo.
Edamaker.
Now we use the word tattoo. Side note, the first time I ever heard that, I was
Edamaker
watching Jeopardy. And on Jeopardy, Alex Trebek says the word
Edamaker
tattoo comes from this small nation in the South Pacific. And I was like, it does? And then when he said,
Edamaker,
what is Tonga? Then I was like, the word tattoo comes from there? And
Edamaker
then I, and once I read this book and realized that he wrote a dictionary back in the early 1800s,
Edamaker,
then I realized, oh, they're saying tatau, which means the same. Everybody
Edamaker
they marked with these markings, they wanted to make sure that they looked alike.
Edamaker.
Because the tribes were different. And in order for them to know who they're fighting and who they're
Edamaker
going to war with, because all they had was a wrapping of cloth around their waist. Once
Edamaker
they went to war, everybody tied their wrappings up so that the whole tattoo
Edamaker
would show from the belly button to the knee, so that you would know who was killing who and
Edamaker
who you were killing. That's what that marking was from, so that you all look
Edamaker
alike. Tatau. So that's where that part of the history of the tattoo, according to Mariner, comes from. So there
Edamaker
was no difference in the stories as the other, as his companions told the
Edamaker
stories wherever they told it. There was very little difference or variations
Edamaker
as far as the behaviors of the Tongans from the Mariner's three friends.
Edamaker.
And the book itself corroborated everybody. The interesting thing about the tattoos
Edamaker
is that the precision of the lines, or, you know, the detail
Edamaker
way that they made the tattoos was interesting, because it
Edamaker
matched what Captain Cook had wrote about it earlier. So Mariner
Edamaker
gets to Tonga in 1806, but Captain Cook had already wrote about
Edamaker
tattoos in 1777. like I said about John Martin,
Edemaker.
He used to be a writer of books, a writer of Savage Nations.
Edemaker.
It was impressive to him. He couldn't have come up or made anything like this.
Edemaker.
So as far as my weight of belief,
Edemaker.
In this book, because it was Mariner and other witnesses,
Edemaker.
And they told the story, because a lot of the behavior and the mannerisms
Edemaker.
Of the Tongan people are in this book before writing,
Edemaker.
That's why I rely heavily on it. Modern day
Tongans Edemaker.
And Polynesians in general will still believe what the stories have been passed
Edemaker.
On orally, and that's all good and great and all, but I don't think
Edemaker.
That it's beneficial as far as anyone who's seeking truth about
Edemaker.
The behavior of Polynesia, because Mariner was there when Polynesia was still
Edemaker.
Somewhat an empire, because he goes to Fiji, he goes to Samoa,
Edemaker.
He goes to Hawaii, and there's reasons and why those places
Edemaker.
Are the way they are, those places are even named the way they are. And it somehow,
Edemaker.
Some way, leads back into evidence of an empire in the
Edemaker.
South Pacific. And Mariner happens to be at the capital as an adopted son
Edemaker.
Of the king at that time. That'll be the story that I tell here in this book.
Edemaker.
Until next time, we'll see you later, my friends.
Edemaker.